Nathan. Our scripture this morning, there are two. I couldn't choose between the two of them, so I just thought, why not? We'll just do them both. They're not very long. They are found on page 818 and 859 of the Pew Bibles. We're in 2 Corinthians and then 1 Peter. Page 818 and 859 of the Pew Bibles. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 5 through 7, just two verses of this, the second letter that we have that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. And then the second scripture on 859 is 1 Peter, from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. May God's blessings be upon these two readings this morning. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What an incredible set of words there. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. This is the fourth week in this sermon series, 5 weeks sermon series on stewardship. Stewardship is our call to care for all that God has entrusted us with. It does include caring for our finances, but that is sometimes the first and only thing we think of with stewardship. And yet stewardship is something that is way bigger than just money. It is a way of life. It includes generosity of our resources, sharing our gifts with others, time and talents, as well as our stuff and finances. It includes caring for the earth, for our families, our community. It includes even caring for our own bodies. And whether we're in middle school or high school or whether we're adults, our faith should dictate all that we do, and the fact that we live our lives as good stewards. Just a little review to where how we got to this point. The first Sunday of the stewardship sermon series, we thought about and talked about some of the ways that God has been so incredibly generous to us. We realize through the text that some of the things that have been created are purely for the delight of God and therefore ours as well. Think about beauty, beautiful places and beautiful moments that nourish our spirit. Think of those videos of all the little animals, the koala bears and the panda bears and the hippos and all of those things that just bring us such joy. Think about music that stirs our spirits, like what Eddie and Bobby brought for us today. Think about grace upon grace, this forgiveness that we get from God that never runs out. God's very nature is generous. So how can we be anything but generous as well? The second week, we talked about the needs of our community that sometimes feel so overwhelming that we don't even know where to start. But that Scripture shows us through the text of the story of Elijah and the widow woman that we are called to serve the least of these, but not just because of what we give, but because of what we get in return. That as we serve others, including those who are marginalized and oppressed, that we get as much, if not more, than they do. The story was where Elijah was called to ask for help from a poor widow woman who had the care of her son in her household task, and all she had was enough food for one more meal, and then she was prepared to die. But through her faith and her decision to be generous to Elijah, she served him and then was provided for by God. They all needed each other in order to live. So our lesson is that in serving the least of these, in serving those in our community who need us so much, that we are given life and light in return. Last week was Earth Sunday, and we thought about caring for God's creation, but more importantly, our place in it. We know that we are dependent on the earth for our lives, and yet we forget that the sense of place, I called it, provides so much more than just the basics of life. Place gives us life, yes, but also culture and values and entertainment and quality of life and a way to see and understand the world. But as we, as a society, become more and more disconnected from the place that we live and work, we are actually losing ourselves. We are becoming more anxious and depressed. So that in order to find ourselves again and to restore ourselves and our community to wholeness, we must deepen our sense of place and appreciate the uniqueness and beauty and blessings of this place where we live. So today we're moving into, as Mo talked about, the stewardship, the care for the body of Christ, which is the church. We are called by our text today to maintain constant love for one another, to be hospitable to one another, and to serve one another. We're to do this for each other, those of us who are fellow followers, if you will, brothers and sisters in the faith. And in my humble opinion, as I reflected on that this week, I think we do a pretty darn good job of that here at Providence. We're not perfect. We definitely have made mistakes. But generally, it is my experience that when we know one of the others of us are struggling, we step up. All of our elders have a flock, and they pray for and care for their flock. People in this congregation are really good about sending cards to let those who are struggling know that they are remembered. Food is taken more times than I am even aware of to those who need some food and nourishment. And even sometimes there's a whole plan of who's taking food when in order to provide for those who need it in our congregation. When we know of a need in this congregation, we show up. And I'm so thankful for that, because I have also been on the receiving end of this loving care. Caring for each other, being kind, being a welcoming place to worship and study is awesome. And we are called to what we call extravagant hospitality. But that is not the ultimate reason that the church exists. And I often forget that. We are called to care for each other and have fun with each other, with the adults, with the youth. We should enjoy being together. Church should be a positive experience for us. But that is not the ultimate reason the church exists. Potlucks and garden plots and the Women's Heritage Luncheon and choir and youth group and Sunday school and women's groups and all the other things are very important, but they are not the ultimate reason that the church exists. We are not called for ourselves. We are ultimately called for others, for those who are outside these doors. We are called to spread the gospel, to bring the good news, to shower the world with the knowledge and love of Christ. And Scripture is very clear on this. You and I are God's plan for sharing the good news. We are the ones who are called to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are the clay pots full of God's love to be poured out for others. We are called to evangelism, to be evangelists, someone who shares the good news with others. We are to care for the body, which is us. We are to steward the church. I know that sometimes when I say that E word, some of us start to get a little uncomfortable. We start to get a little nervous. Oh my God, she said evangelism. Our minds sometimes go immediately to Mormons as they're riding their bikes with their dark pants and their white shirt and their tie. We sometimes think of Jehovah's Witnesses who knock on our doors just as we have started dinner, have two pots on the burner, flour all over our hands. Maybe for those of us who have spent some time around UK, we think of that man who used to stand on the corner of limestone near UK with big signs about salvation, preaching in a loud voice. Even sometimes he had a bullhorn. They hand out pamphlets. We think that is what evangelism is. But evangelism doesn't actually require a particular attire or big signs or a bullhorn or imposing visits at dinner time. How we share our faith with others is and should be as unique as each of us are. Evangelism simply means to share the good news. It means to tell others about how God has worked or is working in our lives. And it really shouldn't be that hard. In 1950, 91% of Americans identified as Christians. That fact alone made evangelism for the church very easy. Good stewardship of the body at that time in the 1950s and 60s meant supporting missionaries who went to distant lands to spread the gospel to people who have never heard or known about Jesus. But today we find ourselves in a very different situation. Here in Kentucky, 41% of people report they attend church at all. And Kentucky is in the top 10 states in our nation in reported church attendance. We cannot wait for people to say, "Hey, will you tell me about Jesus?" We cannot wait for them to ask, "Can I come to church with you?" We can't have this hesitation and this reluctance for that E word evangelism, because it's so easy. I hear us doing it all the time, for us to share recommendations for a good restaurant. Oh my gosh, have you tried that new restaurant? It is so good. You have to go. We will share the name of a good mechanic, a physician, programs for dieting or exercise. We even tell people why we want them to go to that place or to get to know or use that person. We share our experiences, how these things have helped us or improved our lives. And yet, we struggle to tell anyone about our church and, more importantly, about Jesus. But sharing our faith is actually an essential part of having faith, because our faith is deepened as we tell others about how God is working in our lives. We are called to be good stewards of the gospel, just as we are called to be good stewards of our resources. We are called to be generous with God and our experiences of God as God has been with us. And I know some of us think, because some people have told me, my faith is a very private thing, Carol. And while faith is very definitely very personal, it cannot be private. Through Jesus Christ, we have all become participants in this, the greatest of God's mysteries. And we have been called to be good stewards of our knowledge and experience of those mysteries. We have the gift and blessing that has the power to change lives, and therefore the power to change the world. It is a gift And so how can we do anything but be generous with that gift to others? It's a fundamental part of us being Christian. I have had many, many deep faith people who say to me, "My actions speak louder than words. I live my faith in deed, not in word." And St. Francis of Assisi, who you all know I love, agreed, and he said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." And I do believe that everything we do, should reflect who we are in Christ. But we are now at a time when it is necessary for us to use words. Our culture is working against us. So much competition on Sundays, no Bible lessons in school or faith discussed even on television, not to mention the accessibility that all the world now has to extreme violence and pornography on the internet. And yet we know that people are yearning for a spiritual life. Everybody wants meaning and wholeness. People want to fill those dark places of their souls. And so they shop, or they work more and longer and harder, or they watch a whole lot of television, or surf the internet, or do social media. We pop pills, we exercise, we drink alcohol, we eat in excess, but none of these things actually brings light to those dark places in our souls. People have left the church. Many now have never been. And yet they still mostly consider themselves believers in God and even followers in Christ. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us that we should be ready to talk about our faith at any time that we get the opportunity. And it is my belief that we have to pray for those opportunities to present themselves. Maybe, as you sit here this morning, young people and old, you may think immediately of someone that you know who needs to hear about your faith. Maybe you know immediately in your mind of someone that is going through a very difficult time and could sure use some hope. You might say, "I know you're going through a tough time. I've been there. Let me tell you what God has done in my life." Or, "Life is really hard for everybody. But a family in the church provides us people who will journey with us through those hard times and will support us and carry us through when they hit. Would you be my guest this Sunday at church?" Did you know that Jehovah's Witnesses are required to actively evangelize for 1 hour each month in order to remain in good standing in the church? Every month they have to submit their report of how they spent their time with an explanation about how they shared the good news for just 1 hour. They're the only faith group in the United States that is growing significantly. And while I don't agree with their methods, and I am not a participant in their theology, it does show us how much people are yearning for someone to give them something more than the world gives them. How much people need some light. How much people want a spiritual answer. Sharing our faith is not easy for most of us. How do we even go about sharing the many colored graces of God, the mystery of God, how Christ lives inside of us? How or where do we even begin? This morning you were given that blank piece of paper and invited to contemplate times when you have felt or seen or known God at work in your life and in the world around you. Perhaps it was forgiveness that you received. Perhaps it was comfort in a very dark time, unexplained strength or peace, joy that doesn't depend on what's going on in the daily events of the world, gratitude when the world tells you you have nothing to be grateful for, miracles, friendships, encouragement, love. How has God been made known in your life? That is where you can start. We aren't called to understand or explain the mystery of God. We aren't called to know everything about the Bible and be able to quote it to anybody at any time. But we know the good news of Jesus Christ, and we're just simply called to share our experience of that as we have experienced it, as we have been changed by it. We all have a story to tell. We all have good news to share, hope to give. We are all evangelists, called to bring wholeness to a very broken world, light to darkness, hope to despair, and love to fear. On the tables in the narthex and in the table by the back door are some business cards that we had printed up a couple of years ago here at Providence that say, "Welcome to Providence Christian Church." And I ask us once again, as we leave church today, to take 5 cards and give them to people that you encounter who need a good word, who need some light. Invite them to church. Tell them your story. Let them know how you have experienced God. And this doesn't have to be the place that people end up, but it is a place they can start. And you can say that. So as you leave today after worship, I encourage you to take some of those welcome cards and think about and pray about who is God putting before you, who needs a little hope, a little light today. Amen.